Well, Shabbat Shalom. We're glad you could be with us tonight here at Shalom Shalom Congregation. I'm Dr. Todd Baker, pastor of this small, humble, yet powerful congregation. We've been meeting for now since 1999. We started this congregation with Zola Levitt, who decided to start a Messianic congregation, and we've been meeting since September of 1999. By the way, today is the 18th year of Zola's passing into glory. 18 years ago today, our dear brother and servant of the Lord shuffled off his mortal coil and went in to be in the presence of the Lord. And I sorely miss him, but he is not forgotten. And part of the reason we do what we do in Israel is because he saw our first couple trips over there and decided to set up a fund, Zola did, called To the Jew First Fund. And that fund is really low right now. So I did an interview with the current hosts at Zola Levitt Ministries to garner awareness that people need to not let that fund be completely depleted, because this ministry of going to Israel has to continue. Too many ministries to Israel are humanitarian only, and they have their proper place. But the first order, the first priority is evangelism. The church has been given a vision. It doesn't need to cast vision at some, you know, local church. That's not even biblical. The vision of the church, Jesus gave it. It's called the Great Commission, winning souls to the Lord and discipling them. And it starts with Israel first, and that's exactly what we're going to be talking about tonight on our 55th gospel outreach to Israel. And we have been going to Israel, sharing the gospel, distributing, giving the scriptures back to the people whom God inspired to write it to begin with. We give them a witness for Yeshua, a gospel witness, and with that we give them complete Hebrew Bibles with Messianic gospel tracts. So tonight we are in part two of our 55th gospel outreach to Israel. But before we get there, a few things I want to mention, as I do every week. Folks, if you would like to learn more about our ministry and see what we do in Israel, the best thing you can do is subscribe to our free quarterly newsletter, Search the Scriptures. This is the Winter-Spring 2024 edition. And in this edition, we talk about our gospel ministry that occurred in Haifa on our 54th gospel outreach. And so you'll want to get that. Plus, we have good, solid teaching, both expository and topical, in this newsletter. We continue our Parable of the Wicked Husbandman exposition, part 10. And then the last article is, what is the first messianic prophecy in the Bible? And of course, those of you who know and are aware of this would answer correctly, Genesis 3:15. What theologians call the proto-evangelium, which is a long Latin word meaning the first time the gospel is mentioned in Scripture. And it's the first time the Messiah is mentioned, as he's called the seed of the woman. So if you would like this newsletter, you can go to our website at www.searchofscripturesonline.org and sign up. And if you want to visit us here at the church, we do meet at Northwest Bible Church every Friday evening at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. We meet in the Christian Life Center building, third floor, room 301. The church is located at 8505 Douglas Avenue, Dallas, Texas, zip code 75231. And may I add that we are tentatively planning to go back in October of this year to Israel. And our brother August will be returning with us. But again, that's predicated on us getting enough funds to do so. So we're hoping to plan this trip in May this year, get everything set up and planned. And Sandra Luttrell, the travel manager for Zola Levitt Ministries, helps us with that. Shout out to her. She's a big help. She serves as a vital cog in that ministry machinery for us. So, you know, the Bible is very clear that our priority should be evangelism. to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Very few ministries take Jewish evangelism seriously. Even fewer ministries take Jewish evangelism in Israel seriously. Not many are going over there and doing that like we are. And it's only by the grace of God and the enablement of the Holy Spirit that we are able to do that. No one is trying to say we're better than everybody else because most people are not doing this. No, we're saying that God equips, God calls, equips, and enables, and we need your help to do this. Prayers are appreciated, but we do need your financial support, and I'm so thankful for our financial supporters in this room and those of you who are out there who support us, but we can never have enough support, you know. So we would appreciate you praying and considering about funding our outreaches to Israel. And if you're interested in doing that, there is a secure donate link that you can click on to tonight. And it'll take you to our secure PayPal website, and you can donate once a month, one time, twice a month, every week, whatever, however you want to set it up. But remember that when you bless Israel, and the best way you can bless Israel is by sharing the gospel with them, God promises to bless you in a manifold way in return. I hearken to the promise of Genesis 12:3. I will bless those who bless you. And everyone that I've talked to who supported this ministry says they are blessed by God because of what we're doing and what they're doing. When you partner with us, you will also share in the same rewards. Paul told that to the Philippians, that you will share in our reward because of your support to us. And that this is true with all those who support us. When you stand before the Lord at the Bema Seat to be rewarded for your service to Him, if you've supported this ministry, guess what? You will be rewarded just as if you went with us, which you do, and you do so by your financial participation. So please consider supporting us. Again, thank you for those faithful donors, generous donors who believe in this cause, believe in this ministry, because you know that what we're doing is squarely based on Scripture. We're not coming to you promising you wealth, happiness, financial riches. If you sow your seed, you know, the whole false doctrine of seed faith theology, that word of faith is constructed. That's not what we're about. God will bless the giver, but He will bless him as He sees fit. Amen. So thank you for considering supporting us, and we appreciate that. Last but not least, if you are serious and you want to study the Word of God, perhaps even earn a degree and sit under God-appointed, anointed, and ordained teachers of His Word, then may I suggest you seriously consider attending Schofield Biblical Institute. Our chancellor is Dr. Daniel Woodhead, and the Schofield is accredited, and you can earn your undergraduate, your graduate, or your doctoral degree, whatever you want. We have a wide academic track. You can design, tailor-make your own academic track and what courses to take and so forth. Currently, I'm teaching, once again, Apologetics 1, and we're teaching that every Wednesday, and I'm enjoying that. We have a really good student in there, and Dr. Woodhead are enjoying our Zoom conferences with him. But if you want to check out Schofield Biblical Institute, then you can call that number, 877-706-2479, and talk to Dr. Woodhead about possibly attending. And if you're interested in checking us out online, you can go to info@schofieldinstitute.org. All right, folks, well, we're back in our 55th Gospel Outreach to Israel presentation, part two. Again, our beloved brother, Greg Hartwig, is out. He had to have medical reasons. I won't go into detail, but pray for him. So he usually sets up our slide show, and we're not doing that again this week. So I would ask you if you want to follow along on the photos, and I apologize that we don't have the photos up here. But if you want to follow along this portion of my presentation, you can go to todd.levitt.com. And all the pictures from 2003 up till now are on there, all the pictures of our outreaches. The only ones missing, I think, were the first three in 2001 to 2002. We don't have picture photos for those. But from 2003 to the present time, we do have them. That's, 21 years of photo documentation. It's one thing to talk big and say, oh, we're doing this and that for God, and but we present these photos so we can document the people we talk to, remember them, pray for them, and also so that supporters can see, and those even in the world can see, that we mean business and we are indeed carrying out this ministry. And it's a form of information to you and accountability. And we're not kicking back and beach reclining chairs, drinking Mai Tais and making up stories, God forbid. But we are actually, from day one, we hit the ground sharing the gospel and witnessing to these folks. And remember, I told you the theme of this outreach was the names of people, the Hebrew names of people. We'd ask them the meaning of their names, and more times than not, the meaning of their name was somehow connected, believe it or not, to the gospel. And you're going to see this in part two. So this outreach really focused on the names, which reminded me, as I said last week in part one, reminds me of the scripture in Proverbs 22:1, and that is this: a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Of course, this verse name goes far. It's far more in depth than just the pronunciation of the name. I get that, but still, we ran across some good names that opened the door for us to share the gospel with the Israelis. And I think you're going to see that. So let's get right into it. So last time we left off, we had our first full day of gospel ministry in Jerusalem. And we decided, as we go to the wall or the Kotel, the Western Wall, we always, on our way there is an outdoor mall called the Memilla Mall. And we've had good ministry there in the past. And we had good ministry this time. So at the Memilla Mall, the Lord had us to share the gospel with an Arab young man whose name was Ziev. He told us he enjoys, listen to this, he told us, and it was interesting that several of the Arabs we witnessed to went out of their way to assure us they love being citizens of Israel, and they deplored and condemned the Hamas atrocities of October 7th. We didn't ask them that most of the time. They just volunteered that information. And they were not being patronizing either. They really meant it. Ziev was one of them. He told us he enjoys being a citizen of Israel. And get this, he went to a high school called Hand to Hand. I actually looked that up on the website, on the internet, and found it. The school is called Hand to Hand, where Jewish and Arab teenagers attend school together in a peaceful and friendly fashion. Well, picking up on this theme, Robert Williams and I shared with Ziev that the atoning death of Jesus the Messiah removes the wrath of God and the enmity of man from us and is replaced with his righteousness and forgiveness that saves to those who believe in the gospel. Romans 5, 6 through 11. The atonement and resurrection of Jesus Christ vertically makes us right with God, we told Ziev, and horizontally puts us right with our fellow man. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, we said, is the only real solution in bringing full and final peace to the Middle East. In the end, not the flawed biblical peace treaties that have or will fail when it's all said and done. Isaiah 2, 1 through 4, Zechariah 14, 9 through 14. Ziev, like if you remember Samuel, we had witnessed to him before Ziev, a young Jewish man. Ziev, like Samuel, listened attentively and joyfully accepted the Hebrew scriptures from us. Near the end of the day, as Robert and I were leaving the Armenian quarter of the old city, I spotted a mini mart and felt compelled to go in and visit the owner, Michelle. He was a jovial and receptive Armenian man. Our gospel witness focused on how so many people act religious about knowing Jesus but fail to personally know him through the experience of the spiritual rebirth Jesus requires by faith, taught in John 3, 1 through 8. We have the same problem here in America. We got a lot of religious people attending churches, liberal, conservative, evangelical, the whole denominational spectrum. They attend church. They know about Jesus and act religious. But guess what? Same problem in Israel. You got nominal Christians there, whether Armenian or Arabic. They know about Jesus, but they don't personally know him. Why? Because they have not experienced the new birth from above as Jesus taught and required in John 3. Michelle earnestly wanted to know more about the necessity of the new birth through the saving power of Jesus Christ in union with the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit once a person believes in Jesus for salvation, John 3:16. To that end, once again, praise God, we were able to give this teachable man a copy of the Hebrew Scriptures and a gospel tract so he can read, believe, and thus receive the word of life to be saved. 1 John 1:1-2. Well, moving on, day 7 of our outreach. Day 7 in Jerusalem was the perfect. Now, this was one of my favorite days. Was day 7. 7, as you know, is the number of perfection, God's number. Day 7 in Israel, in Jerusalem, Israel, was the perfect epitome of divine appointments on so many levels. When Robert Williams and I first arrived at Jerusalem's Malka Mall, an indoor mall, we came upon a perfume and cologne kiosk. At the counter, we were greeted by Yoni, a young Jewish Israeli man working there. As I was curiously looking over the assortment of colognes and perfumes, praying inside, God, open a door here if you want us to witness to him. Well, that prayer was answered when I unexpectedly spotted a man's cologne box called Emmanuel. And that is, they spelled it differently from the biblical name of Emmanuel. On the box, it was spelled E-M-A-N-U-E-L, Emmanuel. My biblically trained mind immediately flashed to the messianic prophecy of Isaiah 7:14, where the Messiah, born of a virgin mother, is called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Amazed and surprised, I asked Yoni if he was familiar with the name and its association with the Messiah. Surprisingly, he said yes. Such a staggering act of divine providence obviously allowed us to teach Yoni that the Emmanuel of Isaiah 7:14 was historically and literally fulfilled in Yeshua, the Messiah, born of the virgin woman Miriam, or in English we call her Mary. Robert and I showed Yoni the New Testament fulfillment of the Messianic prophecy in Matthew 1:18-23. Seeing this for himself led Yoni to accept a complete Hebrew study Bible from us, which has an extensive appendix in the back, listing all the major messianic prophecies of Scripture, like Isaiah 7:14, Yeshua fulfilled at the first coming. Isaiah the prophet said the virgin birth of Messiah would be a sign to Israel. The Emmanuel cologne box, which is spelled differently in the biblical English text, was such an obvious sign, too. Opening wide the door for us to share the Emmanuel Yeshua, born of the Virgin Mary, come to earth as God in the flesh to die for our sins and be raised from the dead. Yoni was happy to hear this good news for the first time. Well, Robert then was led of the Lord to talk and minister to Joel. Joel, he had just gotten out of the military. Robert mentioned to him that his son, Luke, was an army ranger. Robert shared with Joel that we come to Israel to share God's love for his people and to give back to Israel what they first gave us long ago, the complete word of God concerning the coming of Yeshua the Messiah. From this, we humbly encourage them to repent and believe in him for salvation, Mark 1:15. Joel also accepted a copy of God's word to learn more of this saving, to learn more for this saving end. So then we, half an hour later, at an ice cream shop, Robert and I met the owner. Her name was Hannah, and her employee. We started up a conversation with him. We had to use a Google translation app on my iPhone due to the language barrier, but this turned out to be no barrier at all. When both Robert and I at the same time asked the young man, because we were led to ask the young man's name, he told us it was Yanon. So then we asked him, well, what does your name mean? Yanon said it was another, and she typed in there when we said, what is your name? And so he types in the phone there and shows it to us. And he said it was another name for Messiah. It was another name for Messiah. This unexpected answer completely floored and astounded Robert and myself. We physically went like this. We were blown away by that. The name, I did a little research right there at the ice cream kiosk. I had a shake. I ordered a shake because I was having an upset stomach. So I looked that up, and the name does appear in the Hebrew text, some Hebrew manuscripts of Psalm 72:17, which is a prophecy about the future millennial reign of the Messiah over the whole earth. Such an open door for gospel witness by the hand of God gave us the wonderful opportunity to then share with Yanon and Hannah that both testaments of the Jewish Bible exclusively identify Yeshua of Nazareth to be the Messiah revealed by God to Israel and the world. Needless to say, we gave them a Hebrew Bible so as to confirm and vouchsafe this for themselves, to which they received with joy and delight. Indeed, who could ever imagine the Lord would use a well-known biblical name for the Messiah, Emmanuel, and at the same time a lesser, more obscure name like Yanon to conspicuously create spectacular witnessing encounters to fearlessly proclaim Yeshua, the Messiah, to his ancient people. Romans 11, 33 through 36. Which really fits that day of witness. It was spectacular. Well, on the next day in Jerusalem, Robert Williams and I had another day, effective day of ministry. Robert and I met Mor, M-O-R, which is the Hebrew name for myrrh, the perfume myrrh. Robert and I met Mor, an owner of a jewelry store. She was so open to our gospel witness to her. It was as if she had been waiting for us to bring the good news of Yeshua the Messiah to her. I can't explain it, but it was like she was waiting to hear something like this. Perhaps the stress of the war and the displacement of hundreds of thousands of Israelis at the same time made her wanting to hear something like the good news of Yeshua HaMashiach. We encouraged her from the Word of God by showing her the biblical promise of Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 38, where God ensures the preservation and redemption of the Jewish nation of Israel. I pulled out the scriptures and we read it to her. We told Mor this great promise in Jeremiah 31 was given by the God of Israel within the wider promise that he would also make a new covenant with Israel, unlike the old covenant at Sinai, which Israel failed to keep. Mor was captivated by what all this meant for the Jewish people. Robert and I proceeded to tell Mor the new covenant was ratified by the sacrificial death of Yeshua the Messiah, who shed blood, saves and cleanses us from sin, Matthew 26, 28 and 29, and 1 John 1, 7. We went on to say the new covenant was first offered to Israel among those that believe in Yeshua the Messiah. To help better familiarize Mor with these fundamental truths of salvation, she joyfully accepted a complete Hebrew Bible from us with a New Testament in it to better understand the saving power of Yeshua the Messiah under the redeeming reality of the new covenant God first promised to give to Israel. Later on in the day, Robert and I had a gospel ministry with a Muslim waiter by the name of Yahya. He told us his name is the Arab equivalent to the name of Yeshua in Hebrew. It's also a derivative of the name for God, Yahweh, in Hebrew. Well, here we go again. Another name directly opening the door for an immediate gospel witness. Astounded by this enlightening truth, obviously afforded Robert Williams and I the excellent opportunity to share what the Yeshua of Scripture and history accomplished for salvation for those who believe in him. It was a wonderful opportunity. We entreated and convinced this young Arab man to accept a copy of God's Word from us with an Arabic gospel tract to better learn about the supreme person and authority of Yeshua the Messiah, whose love reaches out to save both Arab and Jew alike, and to all who trust him for salvation and eternal life from every tribe, kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Revelation 5:9. Well, on day number 9, which was the last day of ministry in Jerusalem, this took us to Ben Yehuda Street. Usually this is one of the busiest commercial streets tourists visit while staying in Israel. But alas, it was now almost a ghost town due to the state of war going on in Israel. Nevertheless, the Spirit of God led us to visit and minister to some open and precious Israelis working in the shops dotted along each side of Ben Yehuda Street. Walking along the street, Robert Williams and I spotted the owner of a Persian Judaica store standing in the doorway. Both of us felt drawn to his shop, having the impression by the Spirit of God he would be open to the gospel of Yeshua the Messiah. The shop owner's name was Samuel, or in Hebrew, Shmuel. He and his family, he told us, were Jewish immigrants from Iran who came to Israel 60 years ago. Samuel was both gratified and surprised we came to Israel at this time to bring the comfort of God's word to them during a time of war and trouble. And we're fulfilling Isaiah 40, verse 1, where it says, comfort ye my people. And that word comfort in Hebrew is an imperative. It's a commandment. And what are we to comfort them with? Isaiah 40, verse 1 says, comfort ye my people, right? What are we to comfort them with? Well, that same chapter in verse 9 tells us what we are to comfort them with. And that is the good news. You who bring good tidings, get into the high mountain, O Jerusalem. You who bring good tidings. That word good tidings in Isaiah 40, verse 9, that the ambassadors were to comfort Israel with, that Hebrew word is habeserot here. It's plural, I believe. And it's the same modern day Hebrew word for gospel, which is habeserah. So here we are following the command of Isaiah 40, verse 1, and comforting the Jewish people in Jerusalem with the gospel, with habeserah. Amen? And so part of this comfort entails our coming to Israel to give back the entire written word of God to Israel, who first gave this to the world by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. That word, we continued, fundamentally, we told Samuel, that word that we bring to you fundamentally includes the Messiah's coming to save his people from their sins. All of this can be read and known in both the Tanakh, Old Testament, and Berit HaDashah, New Testament. We reason with Samuel that every Jewish person needs to know the truth about Yeshua, and the evidence from the Ketuvah is the Hebrew word for Bible. They need to see the evidence from the Ketuvah proving he is both Adon, Lord, and Mashiach, Messiah. Samuel not only accepted what we shared with him, but also received a complete Hebrew study Bible from us and told us he would read this while in his shop. Praise God for leading us to this open and receptive Israeli. And a lot of those businesses over there have fallen on hard times due to the dramatic decline in tourism since October. And many of them are on the verge of going out of business. And the sign on his, I looked at it later, and I looked at the picture, said going out of business 50% off. And he's had this shop for decades. So pray for Samuel that as he reads the word of God we've given him, Yeshua's love and saving power will jump out at him. They'll put his trust in him for salvation. And Lord willing, when we return in the fall, we'll follow up on this precious dear man who is open to gospel ministry. In another Judaica shop on Ben Yehuda Street, we met an affable young Jewish Orthodox woman. We could tell by the manner of her dress. And when asked about the current situation in Israel, she lamentably told us it was tense, especially now since the international media and community are turning against Israel, even after the atrocities of Hamas against the Jewish state. Sadly, even the liberal Israeli media is complicit in these lies, she told us. Her name was Shalaya. Our response to her was to comfort and reassure her from God's word that whoever harms Israel touches the apple of God's eye, Zechariah 2:8. We explained to her that in Hebrew, the word for apple is the opening or aperture of the eye. So those who harm Israel poke God in the eye, figuratively speaking. And she was blown away to learn that. Shalaya was amazed at hearing this truth. From that, we summed up our witness for Messiah to her by saying, God has sent Yeshua the Messiah to save Israel and those from all nations who believe in him. He is the fulfillment of all that Moses and the prophets predicted about this coming Messiah. Acts 3:22 through 26. The Holy Spirit opened Shalaya's heart to hear the word of eternal life, receive it with relief and happiness. She received her heart and ears were open to hear and listen to the word of eternal life, Yeshua the Messiah, and to receive from us the written word of God, to learn more about Yeshua, the Son of God, to bless those in Israel who turn from their iniquities and believe on him for eternal life, John 17:3. So that was an Orthodox woman, and you don't find many of those open to hear about Yeshua. But that was supernatural, folks. Well, on day 10, sadly, Robert Williams and I had to leave the city of the great king, Matthew 5:35. We left Jerusalem. We embarked from Jerusalem to Eilat, the most southern extreme city located right off the coast of the Red Sea. On our way to Eilat, the beautiful southern coastal city of the Red Sea, I decided to take Robert to Timnah National Park to minister the word of God to the employees there. We would also visit the famous life-size replica of the tabernacle located in the park. And that was an area where surely it's the extreme south called the wilderness of Zin, Z-I-N. And no doubt if you would read concerning the wanderings of Israel in the wilderness, they pass through that very location. So here you drive and you come up upon a life-size model of the tabernacle. And when you go in there, it's as if you go back in time and you are living with the children of Israel under the leadership of Moses in the desert. It's surreal and it's powerful and it's spectacular. Well, I knew going in there, the Holy Spirit had already laid it out that we were going to use the example of the tabernacle. It's called Mishkan in Hebrew. We were going to use the example of the tabernacle to point out that it's a type and shadow of the Messiah, his person and work. I did a six-week teaching long ago here at Shalom on the Messiah in the Mishkan, or the tabernacle. And we used overheads and everything. That was probably almost 20 years ago. So I was familiar with this theme. And so we first met Yael at the park. She was a 24-year-old Jewish lady working there. From the get-go, she was totally open to receive a complete Hebrew study Bible from us. Robert and I shared with her the fact that tabernacle, or Mishkan in Hebrew, is an illuminating type and shadow of the person and saving sacrifice of Yeshua, the Messiah. We recalled to her that 1 John 1:14 in the Brit Hadashah says, Jesus is the infleshed word of God that tabernacled among us, as the Greek text accurately reads. Most of your English translations translate that as, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. But literally, the Greek word is the same word used for the tabernacle. So the King James gets it right there when it translates it as tabernacled among us. Yael told us she was very interested in what we shared, and later we saw her reading the Messianic Gospel tracts we gave her with the Bible. The Lord then impressed on my heart to stop back by the main building where we purchased our tickets from a Russian Jewish lady, Helena, who gave us excellent instructions to find the tabernacle exhibit. We shared with her how the Mishkan, tabernacle, is a striking type and shadow of Messiah Jesus in his life and his sacrificial death for our sins and his intercession for us in the heavenly tabernacle where he presently stands as our great high priest before the God the Father, Hebrews 9, 1 and 10. When we gave Helena a Hebrew Bible with Messianic Gospel tracts, she was overwhelmed, amazed, and profoundly moved at our giving her these things. She jubilantly showed her co-workers as they curiously thumbed through the Bible and Jewish gospel tracts with their eyes being open to the truth of hearing the gospel for the first time. She was just so taken aback by it, moved in a positive way. You see the pictures there of her, and it was certainly divine appointments all the way going down to Elat. Arriving at our hotel in Elat, we found it was virtually impossible to find a parking space. Robert wisely stopped a hotel worker to ask where we could park the car. The man's help in assisting us to set up the parking app to park was a godsend. The reason is because the young Jewish man's name on his nameplate was Ben El, B-E-N-E-L, which in Hebrew means son of God. So here another name directly related to the gospel or to Yeshua somehow opened the door once again for us to share the gospel with Ben El. Ben El was touched to hear from us about the Jewish gospel with a specific focus on Jesus being the only unique Son of God, John 1:49 and 5:1-27. He is both divine and human. He died on the tree as an atonement for our sins, Romans 5:11, and rose from the dead to give us eternal life, Romans 6:23. All these things we told Ben-El. Ben-El was excited to hear this. He too accepted a complete Hebrew Bible from us with heartfelt thanks and a demonstrated reverence for the Word of God. Well, unfortunately, day 11 in Israel was our last day of ministry. And as you know, I didn't want to come back to Sodom and Gomorrah, the United States of America, and call it what it is. But day 11 was our last day of full ministry in Israel. But it was also the day upon which the victorious completion of the 55th Gospel Outreach to Israel occurred. Our day of ministry started at the mall in Elat, where we had good ministry in the past. This mall is called the Ice Mall, and it's a big mall. It's in the shape of an igloo, and it's a circular mall. And in it, they have an ice rink in there, hence the name, the Ice Mall. So we went in there, and the Lord led us to minister to a perfume dealer. His name was Aladdin, and he is an Arab Muslim and an Israeli citizen. He had no lamps to sell, which you rub off of. Ha ha ha. His name was Aladdin. When asked about the war of Israel against Hamas, Aladdin expressed his loathing of this terrorist organization without any solicitation from us. Aladdin proudly and emphatically told us he loves being a citizen of Israel. This must have been the fourth or fifth Arab person we witnessed to who volunteered that information. They don't want to live in a Palestinian state because they know there would not be freedoms and lucrative opportunities under such a dictatorship. So, Robert and I directed Aladdin's attention to the fact Yeshua was reaching out to him through the Word of God. We shared the gospel from it to him. Aladdin was open and very grateful that we gave him a Hebrew Bible with an Arabic gospel tract about the life of Jesus, so he can know God indeed as a son whom he sent into the world to save us from our sins and give us eternal life. 1 John 5:20. Now Aladdin has the opportunity to believe on the Son by reading the scriptures we gave him. Then finally, the Lord gave us favor with Zoltan, the head of security at our hotel. He was a Hungarian Jew who immigrated to Israel in 2000. He met us briefly when we asked him for a place to park because we could not find one. We could not find one after looking for 30 minutes when we first arrived to Aladdin. The next day, he made it a point to secure a parking place for us right next to the hotel. He just doesn't do this for anybody. So we knew this was obviously favor from on high so that we could minister the gospel to Zoltan. Such distinct favor compelled Robert and myself to give Zoltan a Hebrew Bible and let him know the gospel and of the great love the God of Israel has for him. The large man broke out with a grin and gave Robert a bear hug, showing him that he was appreciative and welcoming of what we said and gave him concerning the Jewish gospel of Messiah and the Hebrew Bible he's revealed in to those who see and believe. Matthew 16:13-17. May the gospel seed planted not only in Zoltan's heart, but in all the hearts that we ministered to in Israel, grow the fruit of repentance, faith, and eternal life to all those who we ministered to in the 11 days we were over there. And with that, we completed this 55th gospel outreach to Israel. And may I ask you to pray for every individual we spoke and ministered to. It was roughly about 35 people, with 32 of those people, mainly Jews, some Arabs, one Armenian, who accepted the scriptures. Pray now that the Holy Spirit will compel them to open the scriptures, and that in the scriptures the Holy Spirit will bring them to a conviction that Yeshua is the Messiah, and that they will repent and seek and turn to this Messiah for the forgiveness of sins. Folks, we went during a time when the state of Israel is in war and has been in war since October of 2023. And many of the people that we talked to were surprised, amazed, and heart and warmed by the fact that we would go over there during a time of danger when the Christian world, whenever danger comes to Israel, they retreat and don't show up over there. They have taken a serious blow as far as tourism dollars are concerned. So they really are desperate, not to mention the thousands of families who have been displaced from the north as well as the south. Many of them were staying in the very hotels we were staying in. So despite the fact we had a successful outreach, all glory to God for that, the job is not done. Far from it. Far from it. Jesus said in Matthew 10:23 that when they persecute you in one city, flee into another, for you shall not have gone through all the cities of Israel until the Son of Man returns. And some have wrongly interpreted that to mean Jesus meant they wouldn't finish evangelizing because of the Romans and the invasion of 70 AD, and they ridiculously think that's Jesus' second coming. No, it's not. It doesn't even fit the criteria of what will occur when Jesus literally does return to Israel. I refer you to Matthew 24, the Olivet Discourse. But the point I'm making is the job is still not yet done. Many cities in Israel, the smaller ones, have not been reached yet for the gospel. And that is our goal. And we minister in new and different places each time we go. And we also minister in places where we've already been, and they prove to be good fishing holes, spiritually speaking. And so, folks, we are planning to go back at the end of October. And this is where the body of Messiah, the church, comes in to frame. We need your support. We need your financial help. We cannot let a lack of money stop or abort this ministry, and it won't. I can promise you that. If I have to hawk stuff and do whatever I need to do to get back over there, so that these end time gospel outreaches continue, I will do them. So to that end, I was interviewed this week by the host of Soul 11 Ministries, Caleb Colson, and he and I both made a plea that to the audience, because our To the Jew First at Zola's ministry is dwindling significantly, and they, at best, they can promise an October trip, and after that, who knows? So we're praying and hoping that that fund at ZLM will be replenished, and if not, then we will have to go on our We'll have to finance it on our own. But whatever the case may be, these outreaches shall continue so long as I have breath, I'm in good health, and I can walk. And even then, I would go in a wheelchair. So we need to continue these outreaches, and they have occurred, and we've been doing them now for nearly 24 years. It's hard to believe it. Nearly 24 years. And ministering in Israel is not like ministering in the States or even in the third world. You don't have these huge crusades, and I hate using the word crusades because the crusades were an awful time in Jewish history when they were persecuted by Roman Catholic and Orthodox soldiers coming, trying to take, displace the Holy Land from the Jews and also killing Muslims in the process. Both are wrong, by the way. And we certainly need to be mindful and cognizant of the fact that we don't have much time left. And if Jesus said you will not go on through all the cities of Israel until his return, Matthew 10:23, then it must be really close, because Jewish evangelism has not occurred widely and throughout the country as a Jewish state since the end of the first century, right? But now it's resumed in these last days, concomitant with Israel being regathered and restored as a nation. So we're now seeing evangelism occur there. Not many ministries are doing that, but it is occurring there. When I started doing these outreaches in 2001, there was only about 5,000 Jewish believers in Yeshua. Now, today, 20-something years later, there is over 25,000 Jewish believers in the land. So we are having an effect. Most of this ministry is one of sowing the seed of the gospel. Sometimes, a few times, we've led people to the Lord there, or they contacted us to tell us later on that they became believers after the Bibles and tracts we gave them, and then they were ministered to by other believers. So sowing is just as important as reaping. You can't have one without the other. So this is not a numbers game. We minister to one, and one is better than none, but we minister to as many as we possibly can while we're over there. But I can tell you, as thorough as we try to be, the job is still not yet done. And that's where you come in. People out there, you come in. If you love Israel, if you support them, if you're a born-again Bible believer, then either you need to witness the Jews and also go to Israel and do that. If you can't go to Israel, then send those like us so that we can do this job, not only because it's commanded by God in his word and we obey him because we love him, but because also you too can share in the blessings of obedience when you support us. Your funds are literally the fuel that send us there to do what we need to do. So before I close tonight, I would be remiss in not ministering to you what we ministered to Israel about Yeshua the Messiah. He is Emmanuel, the one born of the Virgin. He is both God and man. He came to this earth at his first coming to demonstrate his messiahship, his deity, and the fact that he had offered the kingdom to Israel. They rejected him because they would not repent. That kingdom has been postponed and delayed until he returns. We are in the spiritual aspect of the kingdom right now, Matthew 13. But the physical manifestation and establishment of Messiah's kingdom awaits his return to Israel. In the meantime, you need to become a citizen of that kingdom. And the only way you can do that is through spiritual rebirth. You do not enter into God's kingdom by going to church, doing all the religious things, taking a sacrament, being baptized, engaging in communion, and so forth. You have to be born again. Unless a man be born again, Jesus said, or born from above. That Greek word above literally means anothen, above. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You will not go to heaven. Well, how do I get born again? What is it? Born again is receiving the life of God in your life. And upon your repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, believing in the gospel, you repent by turning from your disobedient and sinful ways, acknowledging you've broken God's law and you need His forgiveness. And you accept the forgiveness He's provided through His Son by way of His crucifixion and His resurrection. Trust in Jesus alone that He did those things to bring salvation to you. And when you trust in Him for that, then the mighty power of the Spirit of God will then produce the new birth in your life. And you will be changed forever. If any man or woman be in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Behold, old things have passed away, and all things are become new. Trust in this crucified and risen Savior, the same one that we see prophesied in the Scriptures, fulfilled and come in the New Testament. The same one that we take back to Israel, both Jew and Gentile. Whether you're Jew or Gentile, you need to believe in Him now for salvation. Well, until next time, Shalom Yeshua HaMashiach Aleichem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.